Listen, listen.
So we'll get on with the comedy acting. All the comedy stuff. It's all right?
Okay.
Go.
Oh, no! Oh, no, Mrs. No, no!
You shut your face, you.
No, not on your Nelly. Can you not? Nay, and thrice nay, and ye again nay.
Well, I'll do an encore, you know. I usually do an encore to the end, you know, if I get to the end.
BBC, David Walliams, Rafe Spall, Frankie Howard, Rather You Than Me, written by Peter Harness. Wipers swing back and forth, sweeping rain from a windscreen. Frankie Howard gets out of the car, the door being held open for him by a man wearing gold-rimmed glasses. Oxford Union, 1990. As Frankie greets some students, his companion gets a makeup case and a bag containing something with the words "Ooh, Mrs." printed on it out of the boot.
I suppose you'll go into politics. Yes. You true blue. Oh, I don't like Labour people. No. I mean, they're all po-faced. They seem to have this terrible problem with their hair. No, not like you.
We're very honoured to have you here. I'll introduce you and then you can expect a warm hand on your entrance.
Yes, you've done your homework, you. Oh.
Are you,
Oh, this is my back, Sheridan. I'm a martyr. Oh. Would you be a pal?
Frankie unbelts his trousers and guides the younger man's hand forward, but his companion walks in.
We're low on get your titters out.
Well, I can't do anything about that now, can I? Sheridan, president of the Oxford Union, this is Mr. Hamer, my manager and my chauffeur.
I can see to him now, thank you.
Excellent.
I get too old for this.
Too old for what?
I should really give it up. Oh, on with the motley. Give us a kiss, then.
I'm not giving you a kiss.
Go on. Dennis. You won't forget to heckle me, will you?
No, I bloody won't.
Out in front of his enthusiastic audience, Frankie stands with his hands on his waist and pulls silly faces.
I'm not, well, you know, well, you don't know, but you'll believe when I tell you. I'm not what you'd call a clever clogs, you know, sort of O-levels or A-levels. Oh, no, nothing like that. No. Of course, being students, you know, I'm not what you'd call an academic. By no way could you call me an intellectual.
Hear, hear.
Which is why I feel so at home here tonight. You shut your face, you.
He's mocking. He's mocking Francis. He's mocking your Francis.
Well, so I'll tell you this story about a gamekeeper, right? This gamekeeper used to go around the woods all the time, you know, with his gun looking for game. In the woods to shoot. And he comes across this coppice.
It's a coppice. A coppice in a woods.
Yes, please, missus, please, you know, pay attention.
Dennis remembers being a handsome waiter.
And oh, there's this girl. A beautiful girl, yes. In this coppice, and she's beautiful.
A coppice in a wood,
yes. Please, missus, please pay attention.
Dennis passes Frankie in a restaurant after he's performed the same act at the London Palladium, 1954.
Were you nervous?
Me, nervous?
I mean standing up in front of the Queen.
I've never had a moment's trouble with nerves in my life.
He's all right, Roger. Big funny-looking fella over there. I used to love him on Variety Bandbox.
Stars is all the same. Last Christmas, he offered me $10 to wank him off.
$10?
Yeah, stingy bastard. You know, he's the highest paid entertainer in the country. Even Gilbert Arden gave me a fiver.
Well, I'm sick of being a comic, you know. In any case, I want to be an actor.
Time slows as Dennis and Frankie lock eyes.
Yes, in the coppice. Oh, she's beautiful. And, you know, she looked at him. Yeah? He, you know,
and looks at her. And he said, excuse me, are you game? And she said, yes. So he shot her.
In the past, Dennis is out of his waiter uniform and comes down some steps into a bar. Frankie's standing at the counter with a female friend at his side. Dennis makes his way over to him with an air of assumed nonchalance, then stands next to him.
I'm just gonna go and powder my nose.
Frankie nervously strokes his hair.
Like your girlfriend. Very nice.
Jane's my companion. She's not my girlfriend. The kind of girls I usually go for. I prefer girls with shorter hair and rather flatter chests, you understand. And the kind who don't really expect too much in return. Were you breastfed? No, I'm serious. I mean, were you breastfed? I mean, by your mother.
I don't suppose I was, no.
I was, every day. I couldn't get enough of it. They used to have to pull me off her like a limpet. Did you ever feel the urge to return to the womb?
I don't think my mum would let me. She doesn't much like me living in the back bedroom. What?
With my back. Terrible trouble with it.
Where's the boss? Come on, where is he?
Come here, you! Rather you than me.
Get up there, scared!
Dennis has stepped in front of Frankie to protect him from a robber. Frankie cups his groin. Frankie delivers his act at the Union in 1990. In 1954, he and Dennis burst into a room, kissing passionately and clawing at each other's clothes. Dennis grabs Frankie's hair and accidentally dislodges his wig.
Buggers. You're coming out in the torrents now.
In the darkened bedroom, Frankie grimaces with his eyes closed. Then a look of intense relief and release crosses his face. Dennis rises up in front of him with a cheeky smile, then lies down on the bed.
Yes, well, you can't lie there all night, can you?
Whatever you like.
Very good looking, aren't you? Well, I haven't got as much money as you'd think, so...
Didn't ask for money, did I?
No, not yet. Nice to meet you, Dennis.
I can stay.
Frankie's standing with the door of his room held open. Outside, Dennis lights himself a cigarette, then looks up behind him.
When I was a little boy in Eltham, I was very timid. Very shy boy, yes. And I put that down to breastfeeding. Gosh, please, listen. After I was born, my mother, she went back to her job at the chocolate factory. She left my father, who was unemployed, to look after me at home. And, he used to breastfeed. Don't, please, you're not taking this seriously. He used to, warm the bottle up. He used to stick it up his vest. Make a little hole here. He'd stick the teat through the hole. Well, because people used to make their own entertainment in those days.
The title of a television programme appears on a screen. What's My Line?
Well, once again, let's say welcome to What's My Line and...
Dennis is polishing his shoes in front of the television at home.
I don't need you to help me.
The table we have David Nixon.
I wish you wouldn't do that in front of the television set.
Well, they can't see us, man.
While his mother pours tea, Dennis goes to put some lotion in his hair.
For those of you that don't know the rules of competition, I don't like Frankie. I'll prefer Raymond Andrews, even if he is a bloody Mick.
Ferdinand Rosenthal, how are you?
Bloody hell, Dennis! I can smell that from here. Don't he smell like a tart, Bob?
All right, all clear. We start with Frankie Harrow, and we'll tell you that Mr. Rosenthal is waiting.
On screen, Frankie is frozen and is saying nothing.
What the bleeding hell's his problem?
Isabel Barnett.
Is it then one of the main services that go to people's houses?
No. Let's go back to Frank.
Dennis is staring intently at the screen. Frankie looks like a rabbit caught in headlights and nervously sips some water. He sadly shakes his head in bewilderment. At home, his telephone rings. He tries to ignore the incessant ringing, slumped in a chair with his wig off, revealing the partially bald head underneath.
Who is it?
It's Dennis.
Dennis who?
Dennis Hamer.
We were at Checkers together. Do you remember it? And the man with the gun came?
Yes.
I saw what's my line. So I just thought I'd...
I thought I'd call to see if you're okay. Were you nervous?
Yes, of course I was fucking nervous.
I'm useless if I haven't got a script.
I'm sorry.
I've always been nervy. I had an audition for
Rada once. My poor mother packed me a bag of
cheese and onion sandwiches. And I was trembling so much during To Be or Not To Be.
I lobbed them right in Dame Helen Hay's tits.
Are you going to be okay?
Dennis is out with friends.
Here we go.
Happy cheers, birthday. Mate.
Cheers.
Thanks for coming. You all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just I'd invited someone, but they haven't.
Fuck me.
Frankie has arrived.
Oh, no. I'm in my agent. Oh, it's very nice. Very nice, but he's always a scruffy man. So, I mean, they call him Scruffy. I mean, he sits, don't they, Jane? Scruffy Dale. Yes, he's on the Uxbridge Road, if you want to check, above a pub. Yes, I mean, he sits there in his pyjamas most days, you know, fag ash down his new nose. The thing is, I'm not important to him. Oh, no, I mean, he's got all these other artists, you see. Oh, no, please, please, don't laugh. I mean, the thing is, he's got Rusty and his pigeon friends, which are very, very popular in Bridlington. And he's got all this. He's got Windy Blow in his balloons. Yeah, you should see what he puts those balloons and make your eyes water.
In Frankie's room, Dennis talks while he masturbates Frankie.
I used to love you on Variety Bandbox.
Oh, yes, it was a very popular programme. Oh.
Frankie reaches his climax and Dennis hands him a handkerchief. Frankie wipes sweat from his eyes and upper lip.
What's that? Well, it's emotional, isn't it? You know, the cork coming out of the bottle. I get a bit anxious sometimes. I think it's coming back. I used to have a terrible stammer when I was a boy.
You grow out of a stammer.
Yes, you'll be wanting to pop off.
No, I can stay.
Dennis gives Frankie a kiss on the cheek. Morning, and Dennis is buzzing around in the kitchen making breakfast.
Morning.
Yes, make yourself at home, young man.
You want some eggs?
Yes, wife.
You any family?
Yeah, my mother and sister. I love them both very dearly, no, I do. Always been very good to me. Made me feel very special.
Your dad still on the go?
Oh, no, he's dead. Extremely. Kids I'd like.
What about Jane?
Oh, no. Could never physically go about making one. I'm not sure I'd like to inflict myself on a child either.
I thought for ages that my mother was dead. She, ran off with a bloke when I was evacuated. And I think that's what she wanted them to say. You know, she was dead.
What was it like when she came back?
It was a surprise, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'd have to meet your mother. She sounds very nice. She look after you?
Oh, no, I look after her.
Well, I think you need someone to look after you.
That's just a problem with being well known. You know, people say they want to look after you, but they're only after hanging on. What a job.
Frankie sits with his arms folded and stares evenly at Dennis, who returns his gaze while pouring cups of tea. Standing on a dark street, Dennis is dressed all in black with a smart chauffeur's hat on his head and a satisfied smile on his lips.
Can Scruffy get you better than that? He's not seeing to you right. You'd think 10% of what you earn...
I don't want to turn things down, do I? I don't want a reputation.
Oh, you'll never have a reputation, Frank.
How did it go, Mr. Howard?
Another bloody disaster. I was shitting myself with nerves.
Frank! Sit up in the front if you want, Frank, love. Janie and me will be in the back.
The star doesn't sit at the front, Mum.
I'll go in the front.
I've always wanted to go to the BBC. It's nice, isn't it?
Let's take it to the Savoy, will you?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Dennis drives Frankie and his family away from the studio, which has a billboard for the Howard crowd at the front, at Frankie's flat.
You can't keep staying, though.
Am I red?
Dennis, we've got to be discreet. I'm trying to get things back on track. If anyone knew I was queer, it'd do for me.
Dennis potters about in the kitchen making a meal. Frankie's staring blankly at a newspaper article titled The Howard Crowd, revealed by Ben Fuchs. The words, "The show is unfunny," seem to glow on the page.
Where are we heading today, then? Where am I taking you?
1990.
It was a sad story. A sad story, yes. Get your R's out. Your R's, dear, yes.
Oh, it's got these terrible tragedies.
Yes. Tragedy! Turmoil after turmoil!
There's a girl here crying her eyes out. You know, I shouldn't be doing comedy, you know. I should be doing drama. But I did do drama.
Yes.
You should have seen my bottom.
Fire, I will, for thy sweet sake.
No, I can't.
In that case, get out of the production. Get out of the production. You've no right threatening the livelihoods of the others because of your incompetence. Get out if you're going to soil yourself every weeknight and twice on Thursdays.
Standing in the stage wings, Frankie looks across at Dennis, who gives him an encouraging nod. Frankie steps out on stage.
My bottom attracted some warm appreciation, yeah? Well, they tittered at Francis' bottom, yes.
Sitting end-to-end in a bath, Dennis picks up Frankie's bedraggled and dripping wet wig and stares at it thoughtfully. Frankie's gaze shifts from the wig to Dennis's pensive expression.
Do you find my genitals attractive, Dennis? Well, don't subject them to parliamentary scrutiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad.
Where do you think it comes from? Where does your attraction to the male parsnip come from?
I don't know. Don't particularly think about it. No point worrying, is there?
Beautiful and brainless. And a natural blonde.
Do you like mine?
Oh, yes. Well, half the time. Beforehand, yes, I do.
They gaze into each other's eyes.
Turn round.
I want to present you with a nice clean pair of buttocks for your perusal and delectation, but not on your Nelly.
Frank, turn round.
Frankie looks nervous but excited and turns himself around so that he's sitting between Dennis's legs. There's a mirror in front of them.
Look at yourself. You're a lovely man, Frank. Funny and you've got presence, but you've got to calm down a bit about everything.
It's dirty.
I love you. I love you.
You'd have to make yourself scarce in the morning.
Yeah, of course. Discreet.
I've got a doctor coming.
Well, what's up?
I've got a doctor coming to talk. I think I need it. I asked him to come. It's my nerves. I can't work.
Frankie sits hugging his knees with a sad expression on his face. Dennis is illuminated by a strip of light filtering through a partially open doorway. He's listening in as Frankie lies back on his bed and speaks to a bespectacled doctor. Dennis's brow is furrowed, and he's wearing a hurt and confused expression. Dennis lets himself into Frankie's flat with his own key. He walks along the hall, then freezes. Frankie's sitting on the sofa with his eyes closed, being fellated by a young man. Dennis tears the man off him.
No, stop it, Dennis! Stop it!
I'm all right. Sorry, I didn't know there was a menage.
Fuck off!
Can I have my jacket?
Fuck off, or I'll throw your fucking face in!
I won't have violence, don't you dare.
Well, I'm not going to do anything to you, am I? I bought you a fucking Monopoly set!
Get out of my flat, you poof!
Frank.
You know perfectly well you wouldn't be here if I wasn't who I am. Fuck off!
Frank!
Fuck off!
Dennis hurls the board game onto the floor and storms out. Frankie breathes heavily, then slowly a look of regret at his rashness starts to cross his face. It's closing time at the restaurant. Dennis is dressed in his waiter's uniform. He gets himself a drink.
What you been up to, Dennis?
Bit of driving. Do you want one?
Who for?
Frankie Howard.
No wonder you're back here. He's fucked, isn't he? Hello.
Hello.
Dennis solemnly puts down his drink. Alone at home, Frankie lowers a newspaper, having just read an article headed Frankie's Mr. Venus closes after two performances.
What the bloody hell are you moping around for? You've been in my way all morning.
Mum?
She mucking you around?
Mum?
You're too soft, Dennis. Always have been. You fall for people and you go all doe-eyed. You want to get out there and make some hay while the sun shines. You don't want to be tied down your age.
Yeah, well, you'd know, wouldn't you?
Don't speak to me like that, Dennis. I'm trying to dust.
Do you want a hand?
I can manage on my own, thanks.
Dennis breaks down in tears, and his mother gives him a disapproving look.
What kind of a man are you?
At Frankie's, the sink is overflowing with dirty pots and pans. Plates with food still on them have been left to rot on the counter. The 1990 gig.
I don't feel much like it tonight. And I'm usually so vivacious. I mean, people say that Francis, you know, he's so vivacious. I feel limp.
In the past, Frankie slumps into a seat wearing his dressing gown and pyjamas.
You know, I should be in bed. I should be in bed. Anyone? Get back, get back.
In the bath, Frankie stares at his wig, then at his reflection mottled by condensation on the mirror. A black leather gloved hand wraps a door. Dennis gets up and goes to answer his front door, with his mother looking on from the next room. Jane's standing on the front step.
She wanted you to come back.
Well, she can come herself, can't she?
She's right now.
I know how she feels.
She's got himself into trouble, Dennis. Scruffy's done a runner with about 80 grand of his money.
Really?
Friend. She that I am bloody mighty. Don't shut that door.
Jane, I don't want to be hidden away all the time. I was quite comfy with it before he came along. And then I met him and he makes it uncomfortable, you know, and not just because we have to hide it for work.
Oh. You're yourselves at home, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's just backgammon and tidying up.
We get a lot of glamour out of him, you and me.
But I'm not bothered about the glamour. I thought I was, but I'm not really. The glamour's not the thing I'm in it for.
Listen, he said to say that he loves you.
Are you taking the piss out of me?
He said that he loves you, Dennis.
Well, he never told me that.
Well, that's what he asked me to say. That he loves you very much. And he needs you. He needs you, Dennis.
Really? And I'm not going to stay locked in that spare room forever. Not if you really need me. Do you need me?
I said I did.
Yep. Well, I know we'll have to be discreet. I understand that. And I can look after you. If you want. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I can clean your clothes because sometimes, I'm sorry, but you look a disgrace. You know, I can sort out your household stuff. And we can do a bit of work, getting your jobs coming in, get you back where you should be. Right?
I missed you.
Well, I missed you.
Dennis crosses the room to Frankie and kisses him, then wraps his arms around him. Frankie allows himself to be hugged, then tentatively puts both his hands on Dennis's back.
Come in, come in, come in.
Now, dear, this is Dennis. He's my new manager.
Oh, didn't you used to drive him?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you'll have to give me some suggestions or two. I could never manage him.
No, he's no trouble, Mrs. Howard. He's a joy, really.
Yes, he is. We're proud of him. And we're proud of you, Frank. I made you your jelly, love. Is work all right?
That was a load of bloody rubbish. I don't like this house, Mum. You know, why don't you sell it and I can buy you a new one?
I am settled here. It's been a happy house.
You look like the Cheshire Cat. Be discreet.
Frankie's eating a plate of jelly and cream.
I used to bring you it home from the factory, didn't I, love? Bit of chocolate. I always tried and gave them a little treat every day. Even if it was just half an hour of playing or whatever. It's important for kids.
That the three of you?
That's the two of us. And Frank Senior. Do you want a bit more jelly, love?
Yes, I'll get it. Thank you.
You've been in show business long?
Oh, no, not long. Not really. No.
What was your line before?
I was a waiter. And then before that, I delivered bread for the co-op.
Oh. Frankie's on stage.
She's Mutt. She's Mutt. Mutt. It's Mutt and Jeff, yes. Means deaf. They're there if you dig deep.
Yes. I shan't book him again, Mr. Aime. I mean, she's got an applause. I'm afraid his entrance is much too vulgar for Scarborough. I told him. What he wants to do is smarten himself up a bit. Come on and say, how are you? Are all your cars parked nicely? Are all your cars parked nicely? I told him he could have that one.
What did he say?
He said, thanks for putting him right. I'm really chasing Tommy Steele. I told him, you're on your way out, aren't you? You've been around a bit too long, Frankie.
Well, that may be your opinion. It may be true, but if you say anything like that to him again, I'll kick your fucking bollocks off.
You know, he rolls over and he says to her, do you want to go to sleep now or what? Well, she says, what? You've got an hour of this, so try and reconcile yourselves with it. Any kippers?
Dennis is stopped in his tracks, having just opened an envelope. He silently passes a handwritten note to Frankie, who reads it. Frankie swallows nervously while Dennis stands with his back to him, his arms folded. A bundle of cash is put into an envelope.
That's rather a lot, isn't it? 1,000.
Well, what is it usually when you don't bother telling me?
Do you want me to tell you the truth about that? Why'd you open my post?
Because I answer your fan mail. You asked me to. I'm not going to get angry with you because you need to do what you need to do at the moment. But if you want to get the jobs, you've got to pack this sort of thing in. This bloke won't go to the law, but someone else might.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis. I'll be more careful.
Well, that'd be a start, yes.
I won't ever do it. That was the last time.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
I want to keep it, Dennis. I don't want to send you away.
Oh, you won't.
I've been reading about this new kind of thing. I think it might make me better.
Frankie looks anxious. A dark street. A car pulls up, the nameplate Woolsey proudly displayed on its front. Dennis is at the wheel.
Your Valium's in your case.
Have you got the photos?
Dennis passes Frankie a plain brown A4 envelope. Frankie gets out of the car, carrying the envelope and a suitcase, and trudges towards the entrance of a building. Dennis watches him for a moment, then gets out of the car looking exasperated and takes the items from Frankie's hands. Dennis is sitting in a hallway, holding the envelope in his hands. He rises to his feet when Frankie shuffles through, wearing a white surgical robe. There's a doctor with him.
What's all this?
The first course will be sodium amytal. I'll then give you 80 gamma of LSD to start with. It will take about 20 minutes and you'll feel a little warmer and there'll be some flashing lights.
Would you lay those on, do you?
No, in your mind's eye. And you'll experience euphoria.
I bloody hope so.
I'll then give you some Ritalin to concentrate your thoughts. You should use the photographs and the props and write it down or draw. Mr. Howard will be needing some time on his own.
I'll come and get your Monday.
Yeah, don't be late.
Dennis hands Frankie the envelope and Frankie heads up a staircase. He briefly glances down at Dennis, who's staring up at him, before trudging into a room, followed by the doctor and his tray of pills. Frankie's sitting alone in a room furnished with a couple of eerie mannequins and various items on small tables and the mantelpiece. He looks around in a daze, then stands up. He pulls out the contents of the envelope and starts laying them out in front of him. The black and white photos blur in and out of focus. Frankie closes his eyes and his hands tremble, then he starts writing. He scribbles and sketches, his breathing labored and sweat beading on his skin. His head dips and sways, blocking and unblocking the glaring light of a lamp behind him.
It makes you feel soiled in some way. Dirty.
Get your arms out.
Frankie breaks down in tears.
Listen, listen. No, don't laugh, this wicked mummy flicked.
He falls into a fetal position and flashes between the present and the future. Curled up on his side, he sobs uncontrollably. Daytime. Dennis is sitting at the wheel of the car and smoking a cigarette. He looks anxiously towards the entrance of the clinic. Seeing Frankie emerging, he jumps out of the car and hurries towards him.
How'd it go?
Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, no, please, don't cuddle me out on the street, Dennis.
Dennis picks up Frankie's suitcase. Frankie walks towards the car, looking exhausted and emotionally drained. His face is tinged with a grey pallor. He looks through the notebook of sketches he made during his LSD trip.
I'm trying to get you a couple of weeks in Butlins. Filey.
Dennis gets into bed with Frankie and reaches beneath the covers.
No, don't. I haven't got a libido. I'm worn out.
Do you know how long it's been since you touched my dick?
No. I don't keep those facts at my fingertips.
It's my birthday.
Well, when was that?
Dennis looks blankly ahead. Mrs. Howard is pouring tea through a strainer.
Is he all right?
He's fine. She's having a bit of a rest. Oh, he wanted me to give you the housekeeping.
Is he all right?
He's nervy.
Night time. Frankie comes out of the therapeutic clinic and heads towards the car where Dennis is waiting for him. At home, the two of them are eating off plates sitting on their laps.
What good does it do you going over and over everything? I mean, you think too much anyway.
How can I stop myself thinking?
Oh, I don't know.
I've got nothing else to do every bloody day than think.
It breaks my heart. You should see yourself. When you come back, I feel as if you're cheating on me.
I cheat when I go down on the Waterloo Bridge. I cheat when I get a dresser to suck me off, not them.
But why do you need to talk? It makes you worse.
Because I hate the way I am. It's dirty and it's disgusting. I don't want people knowing. And what we do together makes me want to vomit.
Fucking edit.
Dennis smashes his plate over Frankie's head and Frankie slaps his face. Dennis is wearing a smart suit and tie and preening himself in front of a bathroom mirror. He runs his hands over his hair, pausing for a moment to stare thoughtfully at his reflection. He walks out of the bathroom and stops with a sullen look in his eyes. Now he heads down the stairs into the bar where he first met up with Frankie. He walks up to the bar and orders a drink. A man sitting further down the counter looks across at him. Dennis glances at him, then looks away. Dennis sips his drink, then looks across at a younger, darker-haired man who's holding a newspaper but staring at him. Their eyes meet, and the younger man smiles. Dennis gives him a half-smile in return. Frankie's sipping a drink at home when Dennis lets himself in.
How was she, your mother?
She was all right, thanks.
I don't think my mother's very well.
Dennis steps into another room and Frankie looks mournful. The two of them are in bed. Frankie's asleep, but Dennis is awake with moonlight on his face. When you walk in the garden, he remembers passionately kissing the dark-haired man from the bar. With a beautiful woman. The man pulls off his cardigan and starts unbuttoning his shirt. Dennis stares at him, then starts undressing himself. Tells you she is forbidden. Both naked, the man lowers Dennis onto the bed while kissing him, then makes his way down his body. The younger man straddles and masturbates Dennis, both of them laughing and smiling together. Dennis's happy expression makes him look 10 years younger. He kneads the flesh of his lover's back. As he lies on his front, his lover nuzzles his neck and back, playfully nibbling Dennis's neck and making him laugh. Dennis arrives home at night. He walks through the darkened hallway and puts his keys down on a side table. He goes into the bedroom where Frankie's fast asleep. Dennis stares down at the sleeping man, then sits on the bed beside him to gaze more intensely at his face. Frankie's sitting on the sofa leafing through a notebook while Dennis waspishly cleans the kitchen counters.
I'm trying to get you work, Frank, because you've got to work.
I don't want it.
Why don't you try and get out of the flat then? You know, play tennis or something.
Tennis, Dennis.
Yes, you like tennis. It cheers you up.
I have of late, but wherefore I know not. Lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercises. And indeed, it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame the earth seems to me a sterile promontory. Always bitter out.
I won't have to put up with any more bloody psychiatrists. What a bloody relief. Okay, all right, but I'll have to go around his house first and pick up a few things, you know. Tell him I'm going. Okay? Yeah, bye-bye.
Dennis hangs up the restaurant phone. He arrives home looking expectant.
Is that you?
Of course, it's me. I'm not stopping, because you know we've not been getting along, Frank.
My mum's had a stroke, Den. She's going to die.
Mrs. Howard is unconscious. Her wrinkled face is caked with thick makeup, and her eyelashes are curled and black with mascara. Dennis is tending to her while Frankie watches from the doorway.
I don't know what I'll do.
Don't you value him?
Dennis brings Frankie a glass of water and some tablets.
There you go.
He taps a couple of pills into Frankie's hand. Frankie immediately necks them. They both look down at his frail mother.
That bothers me sometimes. We didn't meet when things were destined to be better, you know. You and me.
It doesn't bother me. Maybe for your sake. It was a bit more fun when you were big, but that's not what I fell in love with.
Wasn't any happier. You know, you worry about losing it when you've got it, and you worry about getting it back when it's gone.
Frankie stays staring at his mother as Dennis moves away, looking nervy and on edge.
Listen. Frank, I know this isn't a good time, but there's something that I need.
I wanted to know it's not the work, Dennis. It's the people that count. Oh, I've been thinking. I've been thinking practically. It's no use me just working 2 or 3 months a year, and we can't rely on a waiter's wage. You know. Why don't we sell up and buy a pub? Could run a pub, couldn't you?
You're not serious?
No, I am.
Dennis steps away from Frankie, looking shocked and torn. Frankie turns back to his mother. Dennis gently dabs Mrs. Howard's forehead with a cloth.
It's
half one day.
He was always a good sleeper.
Frankie's asleep close by.
Dennis, you must promise me that you'll look after him.
Dennis looks deeply troubled.
He needs looking after, Dennis. I need to know that he's being seen too.
But what about me?
He loves you back, doesn't he? I don't know how you've got yourself set up. But there has to be one of you who makes things peaceful.
Dennis stares at the dying woman. Daytime, and Mrs. Howard's bed lies empty. Frankie comes in and stands on the threshold between the living room and the dining area, silhouetted by the pale sunlight filtering through a bay window. He moves uncertainly to a dresser where framed photographs of his sister, his mother and himself stand proudly on a shelf. He gently runs his hand over the end of the wooden bedstead which has been set up in the living room. He picks up a pot of lotion and breathes in its aroma. Then he takes up a box decorated with a floral pattern. He runs his hand over the lid. He sits down on the bed and puts the box on the covers in front of him. He slowly lifts the lid. He starts taking out neatly clipped newspaper articles about himself. His eyes are squeezed shut tightly. Arriving home with Dennis, he hands him his wig.
Just put it on the teapot, will you?
It doesn't make it any better putting it on the teapot.
It does. It steams it. Keeps its contours. I bet Davis told me.
Yeah, well, I think she was taking the piss out of you.
Frankie lowers himself into a chair.
Listen, I'm going to start my mother's tonight. All right, you're going to be all right on your own. I said I'm going to start my mum's. You're going to be all right on your own. Frank.
Where are you really going?
To my mum's.
You want to know the reason why I feel the need to see a psychiatrist?
Well, it's because you don't want to be queer. That's become very plain.
It's because in that bedroom where she died, my father used to get hold of me. He'd lock the door. He'd hold my neck tight with his great spiky fingers. And he'd push my head down and make me suck his dick. Well, let me get this out of the way, because I'm not going to tell you again. He'd either come in angry and he'd strip me off and beat me or scold me, or he'd come in drunk and do that. I don't think Mum knew, not until later. When eventually it stopped, he did something similar to a kid across the road. She threw him out. Then he died.
Dennis is horrified.
Frank.
Frankie gets up from his seat and picks up the phone.
Hello? No, no, no time like the present. Oh, nothing much. Really? Okay, Max, thank you. Goodbye. What? They want me to do the Evening Standard Awards again. That's nice. I just do this one last thing and then get out of it.
Frank, I don't know what to say about it.
I said I wouldn't talk about it again. You know now.
Well, are you sure you want to get out? Get that pub?
I've never been more sure about anything.
At the awards ceremony.
Not one variety. Not satire. Not made for this. Not going to miss it.
And now to say a few words, Frankie Howard.
Frankie squeezes Dennis's hand.
Legend, Dennis.
Dennis beams and applauds as Frankie makes his way to the podium. Frankie takes up his hands-on-waist stance and starts gurning as he regales his audience with a saucy tale. Dennis looks on proudly and gives him encouraging smiles. Frankie does his routine with what appears to be the utmost of ease, and Jane looks back and smiles at Dennis. The whole audience is beaming.
I'd like to say thank you so much for everything over the years, and good night.
Frankie humbly accepts his applause, looking directly into Dennis's eyes, then lowering his. In the lobby, Dennis helps Frankie on with his coat.
I like you in this coat, Frank.
Yes. It was all right tonight.
Yes, you were lovely. Nerves seem to have cleared up then.
Oh, vis-a-vis that, I seem to remember I was perfectly all right before I met you. I think you put the curse on me.
Yes, it was me, wasn't it?
Oh, I think you brought my pals on as well.
Mr. Howard?
Oh, yes. Oh,
I'm Peter Cook.
Yes, I know. Congratulations. I saw your show. Very good. Very funny, yes. We were just off.
Could I possibly call you next week?
Oh,
I'm opening a cabaret club. Was wondering if you'd do a residency.
Frankie looks across at Dennis. Now he's on stage at the club.
So anyway, I'm there, and this young man, you know, comes up to me and he says, you know, hello, I'm Cook. And I said, well, yes, it was a lovely meal. You know, but I was there, I'll tell you, no, because I was there with my...
Yeah, he's a lovely fella. He needs it a bit softer.
I suppose it's the Over the Garden Fence school of comedy. Very anti-joke. Very modern, really.
It's a bit harsh on him, I think.
I know what I'm doing.
And now the week at Westminster, and our lobby correspondent is Mr. Frankie Howard.
No, he can't do next week because he's filming. Yeah, 3 weeks tomorrow is the next time. Okay, well, can I call you back?
Frankie's watching himself on TV as Dennis rushes about getting dinner and answering the phone.
Hello? No, I don't know when he's going to be available. I'm sorry. Do you want to do the raw variety?
Of course. I don't like this bit. Should we, leave off that pub for a while?
Yeah.
Dennis is waiting in the car when Frankie comes out of a building with Jane.
Better watch how I go, Frank. Bella's seen me with you and, well, I'm in danger of getting left on the shelf.
Oh, you could have brushed your hair, Frank. It's a publicity shoot.
Someone else will do it. I mean, you don't want to get left out, Janie. You know, I don't want to live your whole life a fag hag.
I don't know, Frank. I've always found it very agreeable.
If I could take a pill, if there was a pill that would cure me of the way I am, I'd do it tomorrow. I'd take it.
Yes, and I'll give it to you, you miserable git.
Drive.
An up Pompeii publicity shoot.
I mean, she's been pregnant, you know, over and over. Over and over! Because of her ears, yes. I mean, she's got an appliance. She pops it in her ear. Oh, you're disgraceful! And she pops it out again, you know, when she goes to bed. And her husband, I mean, he luxuriates at her side. He rolls over and he says to her, do you want to go to sleep now or what? And she says, what?
The Oxford Union gig. A harsh spotlight glares down on Frankie. He's leaving the student union.
Here we are. Thank you, yes.
Thank you. We've got an interview tomorrow for Channel 4 on The Word, and they want four Roman centurions to carry you on.
It's gay, isn't it? Was I any good?
Yes, you were very good, Frank, on stage at least. Oh. Still going to give it all up, are you?
Well, why not? We'll still get that pub.
I think they'd have sold it by now, don't you, Frank? And anyway, I knew you when you weren't working and you were even more bloody insufferable than you usually are. And I can't retire, can I? Looking after you is a bleeding full-time job.
It's rather you than me. Sorry about earlier, but...
Yeah, never mind, I'm used to it. Now get in the back of the car, you big old puff.
Mocking? You're mocking Francis? No, I'll come in the front. I can't really hear you when I'm in the back.
Dennis holds the door open for Frankie, who gives him a saucy look, then gets in. Dennis shuts the door and walks away. Young